Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's a show where we don't take calls. No, we don't have time to take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors because we don't need money. We don't do this for money. We do this for love. And we don't take calls, but now I've lost track. But that's okay. I got distracted by my extremely attractive audio engineer. How about that Democrat debate? We need to check in with our guest for a full report on the Democrat debate. We'll find out who's gained in the polls. We'll find out who has lost in the polls. Who's up, who's down. So can we, let's swing it over to our guest, Jeff Bannister. I don't know. We don't have a guest. We also don't do guests on the show because I don't want to stress other people out. I can do this all on my own. It's okay. I take the burden for you people every week, and I'm glad to do it alongside my extremely attractive audio engineer. Did you watch the debate? No? You didn't watch? You did either one of the Democrat debates? There were 10 Democrats on the stage, two nights? No? It was very interesting the second night. I didn't watch, I'll admit that, because who could watch that? But I did see the coverage later on. And there was a picture of all of the Democrats standing there with their right hand in the air. It looked like a Nuremberg rally. It was weird. It looks like they were all saluting the Fuhrer. Oh, speaking of the Fuhrer, welcome to Blitz Pride Week. Yes, Blitz Pride. That's the final week of Homo Pride Month when it's just Blitz Pride everywhere. It's everywhere. It's pouring out of everything, and it's disgusting. It really bothers me. You know what really bothers me? Is how the mainstream companies are now putting out full-on perv ads for this particular community, who surely can't buy too many BMWs or dishwashers or afford motor vehicles. Surely there aren't that many of them. Are there that many of them that it's worth making a commercial just for them? Because you're grossing the rest of us out, all right? All right. No, nobody listens. It's too late now. It's too late now. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak, now that the homos have poured out of the closet all over everyone and everything. And their lifestyle has been not just tolerated, but now celebrated. And now we're in the process of seeing that lifestyle elevated and expanded to include trannies and bestiality and whatever else they get into. And pretty soon, who had the... Let's see, I think it was in Tel Aviv. No, it was in Haifa. Do I have the story? I don't know. Maybe I'll get to the story. Maybe I should do my stories in order. Just shut up and get on with the show. We had Donald Trump, the President of the United States, speaking at the Fake and Fairly Dumb Convention. You guys have heard of this? It's put on by a bunch of pro-family industry hacks. Who are members of various milquetoast, watered-down evangelical churches. And they call it the Faith and Freedom Coalition. I think that's what they call themselves, the Faith and Freedom Coalition. A bunch of pro-family industry fundraising hacks who get together and blow smoke up each other's skirt about how we're winning the culture war every year. And this week they blew some smoke on Donald Trump. He blew some smoke back. They're at what we have dubbed here at the Weekly Worldview, the Fake and Fairly Dumb Convention. Trump spoke to faith activists. Faith activists is what they are, yes. You know what that means? Well, I'm just going to leave it aside. Trump expressed optimism to the crowd of evangelicals. He expressed optimism that he could win re-election because of the enormous amount of energy in the room. That's right. It's the evangelicals who pushed Trump over the finish line in 2016. It will be the gullible evangelicals who will push Trump over the over the line in 2020 if he wins. And then again, here, for the third time that I've documented, this is from the Bad Religion file. Bad Religion being gullible evangelicals worshiping Donald Trump. It's really sick and sad to see. Sick and sad to see, I said. That's almost a poem. Anyway, from the Bad Religion file, Donald Trump said this in front of God and everyone at the Fake and Fairly Dumb convention. He said every child, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God. Not just the image of God. The holy image of God. And that is why I, President Donald Trump, have asked Congress to prohibit the late-term abortion of babies. Stuck that late term in there just to be mainstream. You know, Donald Trump does not want to be considered a radical, come out and act as if every innocent person has a right to life. That would be beyond the pale. Probably scare away some of the gullible evangelicals in the audience who... All right, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to accuse people of things that I can't really prove that they've done, so I'll just leave that aside. But now that's the third time I'm going to warn Donald Trump that God was listening to you when you invoked his name and over your child-killing policies. You invoked the name of God over your child-killing policies. Now a third time that's been documented here on the Weekly Worldview. And, well, that's just not good to do that three times, Mr. Trump. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. And so it's now established that you're a lying, hypocritical, child-killing heathen. Because you're willing to invoke the name of God as you ostensibly, I wouldn't even say protest. You seem mildly annoyed with late-term abortion, so that you're willing to at least give lip service to late-term abortion while millions of innocent people are going to be killed on your watch because, well, you're a lying hypocrite. And you've got all the evangelicals bamboozled, and it's, I must admit, it's not surprising. Having spent a good bit of time with evangelicals, they tend to be gullible and stupid. And so there you have it. All right, so... with the President of the United States giving lip service to evangelicals while presiding over one of the most violent societies in the history of mankind. Yes, one of the most violent societies in the history of all mankind. The result we see is peace. Peace is slowly being taken from the society that kills its smallest, most innocent, and most defenseless citizens. And so now bloodshed, as we've documented here at the Weekly Worldview, on a regular basis, murder and bloodshed has become an option for more and more people in more and more situations. And we have a situation out in Manhattan. Back in January, Thomas Gilbert Jr. in Manhattan unexpectedly arrived at his parents' apartment there in Manhattan after his father had told him that he was slashing his weekly allowance. That's right. This is 2015, I said. So this is 4 years ago. So here's a 30-year-old man living with his mom and dad. He gets $1,000 a week allowance. And his dad said he was going to cut his allowance to $300, probably because his son was a shiftless loser. And dad, being a liberal moron, has no idea how to motivate his 30-year-old son to just get on with his life. But dad got upset with the son, decided to cut his allowance from $1,000 down to $300 a week. So Thomas Gilbert Jr. came home unexpectedly, sent his mother out of the apartment. When his mother returned, she found her husband, Thomas Gilbert Jr.'s father, shot in the head with a gun on his chest, as if someone wanted it to appear as a suicide. Thomas Gilbert Jr. this past week was found guilty of the murder of his father over a weekly allowance dispute. There you go. Well, you know, if your mom and dad cut your allowance, you might, you might look at that as a life lesson and decide, you know, maybe I should put the video games down and stop smoking weed and go get a job. Maybe. Or you could get upset. You could have a tantrum. You could cry and whine and be be self-indulgent and pity yourself all afternoon and stay up in your room with the door closed and all the lights out. Or you could grab a gun and shoot your father in the head. These are all viable options in circa 2019 in the United States of America. We go now to the domestic tranquility file. A man and a woman have been charged. This is according to Fox 32 in Chicago, Dateline Houston, Texas. A man and woman have been charged in the death of their daughter. She was killed just days after she was brought home from the hospital. Jason Paul Robin, 24 years old, is charged with murder. And Catherine Wyndham White, 21, is charged with injury to a child by omission. The 10-week-old died just 12 days after she was brought home after a premature birth. She died from being struck in the head. She had bruises on her face and scalp and 96 fractures, including 71 rib fractures and a cracked skull. White and Robin were taken into custody. They faced the possibility of life in prison. No word on any motive except that maybe they just weren't ready to have a child. This is horrifying. Just horrifying. And the, I just don't know what to say about that. I don't know what to say about that. I wish they would have stopped by my house if they didn't want the child. I wish they would have just stopped by my house. That's all. Wish they would have reached out to someone, because there are probably 10 or 20 or 50 million families in America who would have adopted that little baby. Our family being just one of millions and millions and millions. But when murder is an option, often people take the easiest option available to them, especially when they're under a lot of stress and angry. And so instead of trying to find a home for a child that perhaps they weren't ready for or weren't prepared to raise or were too young and stupid to properly take care of, instead of going out and trying to do the right thing, they opted to just kill the child because, well, it's an option. In fact, it's celebrated. If you do it with the right timing, it's celebrated as a constitutional right by some people. As a matter of fact, I will almost guarantee you that the leadership there at Planned Parenthood and NARAL and Pro-Choice America and the rest, they would point to this story as one of the reasons we need safe legal abortion. We need to be able to kill these kids cleanly and safely so that horrific stories like this don't spill out on the front page of the newspaper and make everyone uncomfortable. All right. Now, as I mentioned, it is Blitz Pride Week. Blitz Pride Week, and that Blitz Pride Week found Lady Gaga in front of a pile, a giant pile of homosexuals in New York City. They were commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. And let's see here. She expressed her gratitude and love for the crowd. You know what's easy to love? A crowd. When you're on stage and they're in front of you and they're clapping and cheering. That's easy to do. It's easy to act like you love a crowd. Here's what Lady Gaga had to say to the crowd that she loves so much. She said to the pile of drunken fornicators defiling one another, right there in the audience, she said, quote, "You are the definition of courage. Do you know that?" She said that through teary eyes. She got a little choked up there. She said, "I feel so honored and privileged to even be asked to be here. You are the definition of courage." Okay. So now drunken fornicators defiling one another in broad daylight are the definition of courage. I wonder if we went back and... I haven't leafed through John F. Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage, in many, many years. I think since high school. But I don't think drunken fornicators were part of the book. But the times they are a-changing, right? The times they are a-changing. What else did she say? during Blitz Pride Week. She said, true love is when you would take a bullet for someone. And you know that I would take a bullet for you any day of the week, unquote. That's what she said to a crowd of people. Oh, you couldn't be more disingenuous. The only way she would take a bullet for these people if it was next to her next single in Billboard magazine. That's the only bullet she's willing to take for anyone. What an amazing bit of chutzpah on the part of Lady Gaga, if that is her real name. Here's what she says about the Queering of America in general. By the way, this is from the Queering of America file. She says, while we have made tremendous progress, she says, we! So she's lumping herself in with the homos. I didn't know she was a homo. Maybe she is. While we have made tremendous progress, attacks on the trans community are on the increasing... I can't even read this because the grammar is so poor. She says the attacks on the trans community are on an increasing rise each day. I will not tolerate this, and guess what? I know neither will you. At which point, somebody sent her back to ninth grade English class. Golly. The rally that Lady Gaga loved and vowed to take a bullet for and called the definition of courage was part of World Pride New York City, which culminated today, June 30th, with the annual New York City Pride Pile. I believe it was a Pride March that degenerated into a Pride Pile. You know what God hates? Seven things God hates. One among them is a proud look. And I seriously believe that the leadership of the homo community chose the word pride carefully. It's not just happenstance that they declare their month, their week, their year, that they celebrate one another. It's not just by happenstance that they call it pride. Because it's not just a genetic difference, and it's not just a lifestyle choice. It is the ultimate rebellion against the creator God who made you. Because at the beginning of the creation, he made us male and female. And nothing is a greater rebellion, an insult, a shaking of the fist right in the face of the living God than to declare yourself proud of this ultimate sick rebellion. Your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's good to have you all with us. Lady Gaga, a bunch of warmed over old Madonna impressions now gone queer. So I knew as soon as they allowed teenage girls to scream like maniacs when the Beatles landed in 1962, I knew we were in trouble. I hadn't even been born yet. I saw the videos later and I thought, this is troublesome. This is only going to degenerate into something worse when you let unrestrained lust be expressed in public. And now we've got the piles of homos rolling down the street during Blitz Pride Week. Yes. And then we got Kamala Harris, the Democrat Bay Area politician Kamala Harris. Who do you think she slept with to get the seat to Bernie Sanders' left there at the debate? I think it's very appropriate that she was in the seat, or standing, I suppose. They were standing or were they sitting? I didn't watch. I think they were standing. She was allowed to stand to Bernie Sanders' left. Very appropriate. So two questions about Camel. Who did she sleep with to get such prominent stage presence there? And could America elect a president who looks like a used-up old prostitute? Because that's what Kamal Harris looks like to me. She looks like a prostitute who just was left on the side of the road at 3 o'clock in the morning for the final time in her career. And are we capable of electing her? Well, I'm not. So I wouldn't vote for her or anyone else who was on that stage or anyone else who has been on a stage since 1968 or so. I couldn't vote for any of them. So I can't elect her. But do I think you people could elect her? I think you could. And by you people, I don't mean my audience. You know what I mean. I mean the rest of them out there. The majority who are dragging us to hell in a handbasket, for crying out loud. Should I talk about this DMZ with the handshake with that fat bastard in North Korea? What is Trump? Is Trump trying to be Nixon in China with that fat little murdering bastard in North Korea? When I heard he was going to meet him at the DMZ up there in North Korea there on the border, I was hoping that he was going there to take him into custody. But no, he went there to shake his hand and smile. And I don't understand it. I'm not comprehending. You know, some people say that Trump's strategery is just a little beyond the average Republican's ability to comprehend. He's just too sophisticated. But I actually don't think so. I think he's pretty dumb. I think he found a niche industry in which he made billions of dollars because, well, just about anybody could figure that out. But otherwise, he's a fairly stupid person. And I don't know. I'm wondering if Dennis Rodman is now a national security advisor. Maybe there's something going on in the background that I'm not aware of. I mean, hey, if Kim Kardashian can be his advisor on criminal justice reform, maybe Dennis Rodman can get in as a national security advisor. And who knows? It's just very strange why he wants to go shake that killer's hand. He's got American blood on his hands. Recently. How long ago did Otto Warmbier die? That couldn't have been more than a couple of, years ago. The guy's got fresh American blood on his hands. And Donald Trump's over there slobbering all over him. And I'm not understanding. So maybe I don't have a strategic calculating mind. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to keep up with Donald Trump. Maybe that's it. Let's hope that's the fact. Because as of right now, I'm not buying it. And by the way, I didn't really appreciate the whole Nixon in China thing either. I never think it's good to cuddle up to dictators and murderers and atheists just to advance your economic interests. I never liked that. I was very uncomfortable with that. I never liked Richard Nixon, another liberal Republican. All right, let's move on as we try to navigate our way through Blitz Pride Week. From the Queering of America file, we've got the Jacksonville, Florida Public Library was all set up to host a storybook pride prom. Mm-hmm. A storybook pride prom for teenagers. But it has been canceled after religious groups and other residents protested that it was inappropriate to have a homosexual-themed prom for teenagers at the public library. Yeah, hello, you think? Uh-huh. Let's see. Religious group Biblical Concepts Ministries protested the event and called for residents to have it canceled, as reported here by CNN, who's extremely upset. They're extremely upset. Don Lemon and who's the white-haired, white-eyed freak? Vanderbilt, yeah. Anderson Cooper. Yeah. You know that Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper were hoping to be cruising this thing. Teenage gay prom? Oh, they were. Well, they're all upset now because they're not going to be able to go. Because the Christians came out and just drew the line and said, look, we're just not going to have this.
The Christians all came for some regular.
Yeah, I don't. Well, here, let's see what they say. Let's see the. The library announced that the Biblical Concepts Ministries founder, Raymond Johnson, issued a proclamation saying that the Jacksonville Public Library had canceled their perverted drag queen prom for children. They wrote that on Facebook, and he thanked his team and for all their efforts to stop it. Meanwhile, administrators there at the library, what's the deal with the public libraries anyways with the drag queens? I mean, who's running the public libraries in this country? Well, you know what? They're probably members of the deep state. I've been thinking about that word for the past few weeks, and I've become more and more convinced that the deep state, it's real. There's no doubt it's real. And it's extremely liberal and corrupt and perverted. And it's also very rich. Each person in the deep state, and that goes from the federal to the state to the local level, from the White House all the way down to the public library, they're all making six figures. So they're all very rich. And they're all very wicked. And they're all very corrupt. And they all feel very guilty because they don't actually produce much of anything of any value. And yet they make enormous amounts of money. And so they end up hating themselves and hating God more and more every day until eventually the guy who's supposed to be providing books for kids to read so that they can be smart is inviting drag queens in because he's such a corrupt pervert there at the local library. Well, at the Jacksonville Library, the administrator there had to cancel his perv-themed prom for the kiddos there. And he issued a statement. He said, quote, "While the planning team did a remarkable job putting together a program that would have provided a great experience for our teen customers, the co-opting of the event by others has created a situation which the library is not confident that it will be 100% prepared to provide a safe and secure environment for the teens." Unfortunately, the discourse from some in the community included threats of physical violence. Our cancellation does not mean that we are bowing to pressure from those who protested the event. Unquote. Wait a minute. Your cancellation does not mean you're bowing to the pressure? I think that's exactly what it means. And I think it's about time, for crying out loud. In fact, while you're down there, somebody should step on your neck, you freak. A gay-themed party for teenagers. You should be arrested for that. You should be arrested just for announcing that as an idea of something you want to do, let alone putting it on the schedule. For crying out loud. I think this is the first time I've seen a homo bow to anything ever. And it's just about time. It's somewhat refreshing. More than 100 teenagers were planning to attend this, get out of here with that. All right. From the Queering of America file. We go from there to the Queering of England file here during Blitz Pride Week. The Duke of Cambridge, also known as Prince William, also known as the balder, taller, uglier one. He visited a charity that helps homeless LGBT people. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was asked by the media there. Let's see, what did they ask him? They asked him how he would respond to Prince George, 5 years old, Princess Charlotte, 4 years old, or one-year-old Prince Louis, one day telling him that they were LGBT. Well, hold on right there. I don't think that any one of these kids is capable of being LGBT all at the same time, because I think some of them cancel the other ones out, don't they? You can't be a lesbian and a gay man. I mean, is that possible? I suppose it is possible these days. So how would you feel, Prince William, if any of your children came out and declared themselves and any one of the 7 or 19 new genders other than their birth gender? How would you feel about that, Mr. Duke of Cambridge? Please tell us. Well, he says he and the Duchess there. I'm not sure who she is because I can't remember. I don't really keep track. I think she's the better looking one, right? She's the better looking, more intelligent looking one. The Duchess is the wife of the Duke.
Who's the Duke?
The Duke is Prince William. Oh. I know. It's like, is he a prince or is he a Duke? What's going on with all this? No wonder they think there's more than two sexes. All right, let's. Now, surprisingly enough, Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, he says he and the Duchess, we've already discussed how we would approach it if one of our children told us that they were gay. lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. My only concern would be for any hate or persecution they might endure as a result of their public positions here in the royal family.
What?
That's Prince William. That's how he sounds.
No.
Yeah, that's how they all sound in England. Except they lisp more. He's one of the few. He's one of the few men in England who's actually still not a homosexual. He gave his pronouncement on his 4 and 5 year old children. You know, if somebody asked me about my children, I would smack them in the face. You want to ask me about my children in front of a crowd, a bunch of perverts during Blitz Pride Week? They'd have to restrain me physically from breaking the face of whoever asked me that question about my innocent little children who haven't been corrupted by all you foul, perverted creeps yet. Get out of here with that. But no, not the prince. He says, obviously, if they were LGBTQ, you forgot the Q, I added it there. If they can, obviously, it would be absolutely fine. Obviously, absolutely fine, he said. I support whatever decision they make, but I'm concerned about barriers, hateful words, persecution, discrimination. That's the bit that troubles me a little bit. It's the bit that troubles me a little bit, he said. That's for all of us to try to help correct. The persecution, the barriers, the hateful words. That's so... When have there been barriers and hateful words? I mean, when... Has that even happened lately? Certainly not from anyone in the royal family, a bunch of inbred cretins. He emphasized how important it is for parents to support their children, whatever their sexuality. He said, quote, I've been looking into issues around suicide, and I imagine that the figures in the LGBT community are high. I imagine that, I said. That's what I imagine in my imagination. That the suicide figures in the LGBT community are high because of all the barriers and the stigma. The stigma, you see. Stigma? There's probably 100,000 queers pouring through the streets of London today. There's easily 100,000 in the streets of Manhattan today. Stigma? Barriers? Hateful words? Please. All right, Prince Duke, whatever you are. There's only... Look, you can be a prince, you can be a duke, but you can't be a boy and a girl, and you can't be an L and a G and a B and a T and a Q. There's only two sexes, and let's leave it at that. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. So it's springtime. Actually, it's summertime, but it's been a really wet spring out here in the High Plains of Colorado. And so only in the last few weeks have I had to address the annual irrigation system catastrophe that I have faced every year in every house I've ever had that had an irrigation system. So I feel like there's some sort of curse. So this year, I have to rewire my irrigation controller to my sprinkler valves because there's some creature from the center of the earth that somehow devoured these buried cables that have worked perfectly well for 15 years and suddenly have decided that they are not working any longer. Inexplicable. But that's just a setup for me to get to the fact that I had to go to the hardware store this morning. And I had to buy irrigation wire by the foot. You buy it by the foot, see? And that means you have to have someone from the hardware store who has to come and assist you. Because, well, they have to measure it out because, well, if they didn't, people would rip them off. So I had to wait there in the irrigation section as an associate was paged to come and help me. And I'm at the hardware store, and around the corner walks a thin, pale white boy with purple hair, purple fingernails, eyeliner, eyeshadow, and looking as queer as a $3 bill. And this is the guy who's going to measure out 110 feet of irrigation wire for me. And it took us about 10 minutes just to find it because they have so many different spools of wire. And the whole time my skin is crawling and I'm feeling like I could get physically sick. And so you know what I noticed though? He didn't talk like a queer. He talked like a normal man. Oh boy, it probably couldn't have been more than 18, 19 years old. Anyway, he talked like a guy. Because I think there's something about being in a hardware store. There's something about being in there. You just can't force out that fake homo lisp. Now, I never thought that it could have been a girl.
Just kidding.
I don't think so. The Adam's apple is fairly prominent. I mean, almost as prominent as Laura Ingram's, you know?
No, that's
another one. Oh, no, it's not Laura Ingram. Who is it?
Ann Coulter.
Almost as prominent as Ann Coulter's, not to confuse the two. Certainly wouldn't want to do that. So anyway, as he finds the wire, I realize that he's got to spin this spool about 220 times to get me my 110. So I said, you know what? I got to go check out. I got to go look for one other thing. I'll be right back. And I went down the aisle and I got into that giant toolbox section where any man could hang out for at least an hour and never be bored. So I went into the giant tool section, the giant toolbox section, and I just started opening doors, closing drawers, turning latches. And just anything, right? And out of the side of my eye, I keep looking to see. And here's this skinny little white kid with his purple hair and his purple fingernails. And he's just struggling to just, it's unbelievable how difficult it was for this lad to spool that wire out around the little measuring spool so that he could give me. So anyway, spent enough time in the giant toolbox section so that I no longer felt physically ill. And then I mustered up the courage to just walk back down there and just be civilized with this pervert freak. I mean, just a freak. He asked me, I forget what he asked me, but he asked me three or four things. And every time I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said. Anyway, I took my sprinkler wire and I departed. Anyway, very, very, very concerning that even the hardware store can't find normal people to hire. Where are all the normal people? I'm very concerned for the future of my family, wondering where are the normal men? Are there any left? I know there are a few hiding out there somewhere. But meanwhile, let's go to Israel. We've done the queering of America. We've done the queering of England. Now we go to the queering of Israel file, where in Haifa, the gay pride parade took place on Friday. While a day earlier, there was another march that took place right there in Haifa called the Family March, and this was normal people. So you had the abnormal, deviant, pervert freaks marching on Friday, while on Thursday, the normal people went out and marched and didn't talk about what they do in their bedroom. The normal people didn't. No, they just walked down the street with, I don't know, glitter and whatever you do for a parade, banners, floats, I don't know. Children, bagpipes. No, I don't think they had bagpipes. They do a lot of bagpiping in Israel. I don't think so. I was in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I was across the street from a park. And there's a guy out there just abusing a set of bagpipes. And you know, when someone's not very good on the bagpipes, boy, it really shows. It was really bad. And bagpipes in general are hard to make sound good. I mean, you have to be pretty good. Anyway, this guy was horrible. There were no bagpipes at the family march, but there were normal people. The organizers of the family march in Haifa, Israel, said they wanted they said, "We wish to stress the importance of the traditional family values." Traditional, they said. And so that's where you want to be careful when you invoke the word traditional around your values, because traditions change. Traditions are malleable and they change. These are not traditional family values. These are the God-given values of family, and they don't change, right? But if you just want to stress the importance of tradition, well, for 50 years, queers have been piling up on the street over the Stonewall riots. So that's a tradition. That's now a traditional thing to do, is to go celebrate a bunch of deviant, fornicating, drunk people who killed a police officer. It's a tradition now. Let's see, the family march there in Haifa, they put up a Facebook page to invite people to the normal march, the traditional, the family march, I'm sorry. Facebook closed the page down because, it doesn't say why. It just says Facebook closed their page down. Why? Because Facebook is run by a bunch of deviants, perverts, queers, freaks, fornicators, lesbians, and other garden variety sodomites. That's what's piled atop Facebook. But here's what the organizer, attorney Nama Selah, one of the event organizers, said, quote, "The LGBT organizations make their way to the education system for kindergartners. There is an open debate on sexuality in school and on the street, while the ordinary family disappeared from the public agenda. The discussion speaks of vague sexuality and of a flexible family," Selah added. And then he distributed a pamphlet where he said that there are already companies. I don't want to read all this. "The organizers, the family march is the first step in returning the discourse to the moral plane as it should be in a liberal society." Yeah, good luck with all that. Is that all Israel can muster? Is a lawyer to organize a march of normal people? Man, that's a sad commentary on the state of Israel, for crying out loud. Meanwhile, we go from Israel to the queering of Russia file, where the queering isn't going as well as people had hoped, because one Vladimir Putin, he's having an argument with Elton John over faggotry, believe it or not. Can you imagine Elton John and Vladimir Putin getting into a fight? Picture that in your mind. So Elton John's thrilled because Putin shows up without a shirt. But after that, it's all downhill for Elton. Anyway, this war of words, according to CNN, started with a Putin interview in the Financial Times, where he castigated homosexuals and mindless multiculturalism and the embracing of sexual diversity. We have a quote from Vladimir. He says, "We have been condemned for our alleged homophobia, but we have no problem with LGBT person. God forbid, let them live as they wish. But some things do appear excessive to us. They claim now that children can play 5 or 6 gender roles. This is madness. Let everyone be happy, but this must not be allowed to overshadow the culture, traditions, and traditional family values of millions of people making up the core population." So there's Vladimir, too, with the traditional family values line. Vladimir Putin, not exactly a paragon of integrity and religious knowledge. So, Elton John, by the way, says he was deeply upset by the interview and he strongly disagrees with Putin's view. Saturday in Japan, Putin said, we have a law that everybody is angry at us about because the law that it does not allow propaganda of homosexuals among underage population. Please, Elton, let the children grow and then let them decide what to do, says Vladimir Putin. So let them grow and let them decide what to do. So here's the thing. All through this article, Putin says how much he loves homosexuals. He honors and respects Elton John. I respect him very much. So, I mean, Putin has basically bowed one knee, and Elton John is upset that Putin won't bow both knees and put his forehead on the ground every time a faggot opens his mouth. So that's what it is with these people. I mean, you think that we can coexist with these people? You're wrong about that. At some point in the not-too-distant future, once the closet is empty of all the deviants, perverts, queers, sodomites, homosexual creeps, and weirdos, you can bet that they're going to start stuffing the Christians in the closet. Doug McBurney, welcome back to the show that just doesn't stop until it's over. Just it never ends until the show's over. So let's get off of Blitz Pride. Okay, I've had just about enough of that. Who can take any more of that? All right. But we go to the war file where we will revisit the catastrophic legacy of Barry Ho and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Libyan government fighters have discovered a cache of American missiles, usually sold only to close American allies, at a captured Islamist rebel base in the mountains south of Tripoli. That just happened this past week. Four Javelin anti-tank missiles were found amongst the arsenal of General Khalifa Hifter. Khalifa Hifter is his name. He's waging a military campaign to take over Libya and overthrow a government that the United States supports. Is there a government in Libya right now? I wasn't aware there was a government. That's encouraging. But here we've got Khalifa Hifter. Hey, isn't that Nostradamus's? Didn't he miss Hitler's name by one letter and it was Hifter? I think, anyway, this guy's Khalifa Hifter. You know he got that name from Nostradamus. Some self-important thinks he was prophesied by... Right? Some mad Islamist inbred maniac leading a pack of thieves, rapists, and murderers trying to establish a government in Libya thanks to Hillary Rodham Clinton, who came, who saw, and Muammar Gaddafi died, and now we've got this. And now we've got American missiles in the hand of Islamic maniac bands of terrorists. That's a little scary. Anyway, markings on these particular missiles indicate that they were originally sold to the United Arab Emirates, and how they got into the hands of General Khalifa Hifter is not yet known, but it's very suspicious. I say don't sell any missiles to any Muslims. I don't think Muslims can be trusted with weapons of mass destruction. Let me take that back. I don't think Muslims can be trusted with weapons, period. That's all. At least not Islamist governments. And I know that the United Arab Emirates is not officially an Islamist country, But it's too close for my comfort is all. That's all. I really don't want to be friends with any of those people. All right, now we go to the deep state file. The deep state, I tell you, it's real. It's liberal. And it's never ending. And that's serious. It'll never end until God comes down and rains fire, death, hell, and destruction. The deep state will continue until that day. Listen to what's going on out in Kentucky. Black vultures and turkey vultures. Yeah, that's what's going on. They're a federally protected birds, these vultures are. They're native to Kentucky. And because they are federally protected, their numbers have multiplied to such a degree that the buzzards are no longer only eating dead things. They're also eating live things like newborn calves, full-grown ewes and lambs, and pets. So these vultures attack living livestock and pets in packs, and they peck them to death. And they go through, they have a very graphic, I'll post this article up there on the blog, but there's a very graphic description of how these buzzards kill a calf. And it's disturbing to even read, okay? But anyway, farm animals, small pets, they're all at risk now. They'll devour newborn calves, ewes, lambs, yes. Now the birds, according to writers here at the Courier-Journal, the birds can be valuable contributors to the ecosystem, disposing cleanly of animal carcasses, but their increased numbers have made them more desperate for food. So they're eating things that are alive. And we've got a quote from some idiot at the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food, and Environment. And he says, vultures take advantage of climate change, and they hang around more and more in spots like this that they like. So the vultures aren't migrating away from Kentucky like usual because of climate change, of course. The ravages of climate change are causing vultures to peck the eyes out of newborn calves. They're a federally protected migratory bird, and the article says they cannot be killed without a permit. Permits are $100 each, and they must be renewed each year. They're hard to get. Well, first of all, I would argue with the word cannot be killed without a permit. I'll bet you that's not true at all. You could say they shall not legally be killed, but you can't say they cannot be killed without a permit. That's awfully presumptuous of the government to say that if I don't have a permit, I cannot kill a vulture. I bet you I could kill a vulture without a permit. I would need a rifle. I'd prefer a rifle. Anyway. Well, here's the thing about the vultures. See, the...
what's their prey? I mean...
What eats the vultures?
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't really say. But here's the thing, is this: these birds have been federally protected since the early 20th century, 1918, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. And so once the deep state does something, it's perpetual. I mean, now we've got so many vultures, they don't have enough food to eat. They don't have enough carrion and carcasses to eat, and they're eating farm animals. Will the deep state repent of their Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918? Not without kicking and screaming, they won't. Because that's there's probably a whole host of departments peopled by relatives and dim-witted brother-in-laws of various politicians who their sole job is to enforce the Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918. There's probably a whole block of office buildings in Washington, D.C. just around this one act. So it can't go away, for crying out loud. My nephew, Leon, how else is he going to make a living? Everyone knows he's a dimwit. All right. Meanwhile, we go from Kentucky and a calf-devouring vulture attacks over to Britain for the decline and fall file, as usual. Britain reports at the front of the decline and fall file. Theresa May has signed a $1 trillion, listen, I love how the author at Breitbart puts it, Theresa May's lame duck government has signed the $1 trillion suicide note committing the United Kingdom to net zero decarbonization by 2050. That's right, within 30 years, England will emit zero carbon. Zero CO2. How could they do that? Unless they actually all committed suicide, I don't think that's possible. I don't think it's possible. So that must be why the author at Breitbart called it a $1 trillion suicide note. He says, May signed this piece of magical unicorn fairy tale tosh without any idea what a trillion pounds even looks like. I'm sorry, it's not $1 trillion, it's £1 trillion. And to give you an idea, so England is going to spend £1 trillion to get to net zero carbon emissions in 30 years. And to give us an idea of how much a trillion is, if 1 second is £1, then £1 trillion is the equivalent of a pound spent every second for 32,000 years. Okay, that seems like too much. I think maybe we should rethink this. Anyway, the author ends by saying, catastrophic anthropogenic global warming is fake news. All right. But fake or not, the ignorant British, I shouldn't say ignorant because they're not ignorant. They're all very well educated. They're just idiotic. There's a difference. You can help with ignorance, but idiocy is very difficult to overcome. Idiocy is the result of accepting things that are patently untrue as gospel for your entire life until eventually you don't know what's true and what's a lie anymore. And you saddle your children with a $1 trillion commitment to stop emitting, CO2. Has anyone talked to the trees about that? The trees would not be happy if we stopped emitting all CO2 because the trees would die. Has anyone told these people there's a relatively symbiotic relationship between plants and animals and people? They give off oxygen, we give off CO2. We get along pretty well. It's worked pretty well. Until a bunch of rich, guilty liberals started worrying themselves because they have no other legitimate real worries in the world. They eat too much. They drink too much. They drive around in cars that are too expensive. They live in overpriced houses. They entertain themselves all hours of the day with virtually no cares. And they feel enormously guilty about it all. And so they start worrying that we're destroying the planet. Worried that we're destroying the planet. Okay. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, people who have visited Mumbai, Delhi, India, Mexico City, Jakarta, or the slums of Manila say that streets, certain parts of Los Angeles are comparable to the slums there. Now, I've been to the slums of Mumbai, and I'm telling you, it's pretty bad. It's pretty rough. But I've been watching some of these videos out of Los Angeles, and the homeless community there does remind me of the streets of Mumbai, except no babies. Have you ever noticed that? Homeless people don't have any babies. They're all between the ages of 19 and 90, and they don't have any kids. See, the difference in Mumbai is that if your taxi stopped at the wrong corner, eight or nine mothers with their children would come right up to the window of the taxi. It was very disturbing. Very disturbing. But the homeless communities in LA, they smell a lot like Mumbai, I can tell you that. At least the one I just saw in Las Vegas, it was unbelievable. Sprawling, massive community of homeless degenerates, mentally deranged, dangerous people. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says he can solve the homeless problem in L.A. by building tiny housing units in the backyards of private homeowners. That's right. Remember we reported on this, that you can get a tiny house and a family of deranged lunatic drug addicts to live in your backyard. And the government will pay you, I think it was about $30,000 a year to have a homeless, degenerate, freak, dangerous people move into your backyard. Yes, yes. That's his plan. So now, if you live in Los Angeles, this is from a blog called the Economic Collapse Blog by Michael Snyder. He says, so if you live in Los Angeles, soon you'll be able to bring the needles and the piles of human feces from Skid Row right into your own backyard. And that's one way to solve the problem, is to just bring it on home. Yeah, there we go. Uh-huh. Yeah, bring it on home, Daddy. Uh-huh. All right, let's see here. What is this we have? What? We have the head of the Massachusetts Motor Vehicle Division has resigned. I didn't think governing officials in the deep state ever resigned for anything anymore, ever. But here, the head of the Massachusetts DMV failed to terminate the commercial driver's license of that man who collided with that group of motorcyclists in New Hampshire, killing 7 people. You heard about that? It was like an ex-Marine Corps motorcycle club. They go riding around, and this guy hit them with a truck and a trailer, killed 7 of them. Vladimir Zukovsky, 23-year-old. He's been slapped with 7 counts of negligent homicide. And the head of the DMV, there was an incident involving Zukovsky that should have cost him his license. But the Department of Motor Vehicles, believe it or not, was incompetent and missed that, and the guy's license was never revoked. So he was out driving with the truck and the trailer, and he killed the 7 people. And shock of all shocks, the head of the DMV in Massachusetts actually resigned in shame, giving us a signal that maybe there is some people still left. Maybe there are some people still left in America who are capable of feeling shame and expressing it appropriately by resigning and going and hiding under a rock and hoping no one ever sees them for the rest of their lives, which is what I would love to see with so many of these governing officials. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. When you look at what's happened in Libya, they should resign in shame from whatever they're doing now. Barack Obama should resign from Netflix, right? Hillary Clinton should resign from Weight Watchers in shame and just go away and never want to be heard from again. But no, they're part of the deep state, and the deep state has no shame. It has no shame. It only has pride. That's right. It's got lots of pride and not a lot of shame, and that's a dangerous combination. And I guess that's all we've got. I don't want to do any more of these. I don't really have anything of any interest. At this point, the background music is more interesting than anything I've got going on. So I'm going to sign off. That's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at RealScienceRadio.com, and of course at American Right to Life. And as usual, my other brother Darryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.